Parsha. Parsha Yikra is not an easy parsha on Yush. Now Yikra is a hard parsha for rabbis, I was assuming. I remember my mother once said to him, I used to write things. I used to write like a Torah on the parsha.
Right.
And it was going good. Reishis, Shmos is going good. She said to me, what are you going to do when you get to my Yikra? You're going to be able to say something to my Yikra. You can have some. What kind of chidush?
The worst bar mitzvah speech to write in Hans.
What are you going to say? And how right she was. Okay, it's not so easy. It's a whole new mahalak when you come to Chumash Yikra. It's a whole different approach. Now let's first start with you. Just an observation, an important observation which was triggered, which I'm really telling you from Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. This little bit of a hakdama. It says here the word vayikra. The Chumash Vayikra begins with the word vayikra. And this is a very important yisoyed. Is that loud enough? You can't hear? Vayikra el Moshe. Rashi makes a very important point. It sets the tone. What is Chumash Vayikra all about? Vayikra el Moshe l'chol dibrois l'chol amirois l'chol tzivuyim kodma kriya. For all dibrois, amirois, and tzivuyim, there are many different words which Hashem uses, employs to speak to Moshe to Klal Yisrael. Sometimes it says Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe limar. Sometimes it says Vayoymer el Moshe. Sometimes it says Vayitzav es b'nei Yisrael. It's Lashon Tzivui, Lashon Dibur, Lashon Amira. And here in Parshas Vayikra, Chumash Vayikra, we are introduced to a new term. A brand new term, the term Vayikra. It's a new term. We never have not really had it before, at least in the context of an introduction to a topic. Rashi explains, why have we selected this term? Because the word Vayikra is Lashon Chiba. It is an expression of love. It's in a class by itself, above and beyond Dibur, Amira, and Tzivui. And Rashi goes further to explain Lashon Shemalachei Hashareis Mishtam Shimbo. The Malachei Hashareis use the term Kriya, Kmo Shenemar, Vikara, Ze El Ze Viomar. Avol Nevi'ei Umos Olam Niglalem Lashon Arai V'tumo. Shenemar vayikor. The opposite side of the spectrum is the word vayikor. Vayikor means vayiker. It means a chance meeting, as we find by Bilam. Vayikor Elokim el Bilam. Fine. So this is Rashi's hakdama to Chumash Vayikor that we have over here, a beautiful word Lashon Chiba. Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, really elaborates upon this by making the following observation. Korbanos is something, the concept of bringing a carbon to Hashem, taking an animal, and doing shechita, kabbalas hadam, halacha to the mizbeach, zrik on the mizbeach, is so far from our understanding. It's like mamash minizroch l'mayrof. We don't relate to this. We can relate more to the mitzvahs and chumash in Shemos. We can relate to the musar of Chumash Devarim, we can relate to the moral lessons of Chumash Bereishis. But from all of the Chamishei Chumashei Torah, the one that we have the most difficult time relating to is Chumash Vayikra. It's just too foreign to us to understand what benefit is there in taking an animal, a healthy animal that, from our perspective, is the picture of life and happiness, and taking it and slaughtering it, putting your hands upon it, and confessing your sins, and giving this as a gift to Hashem. Does Hashem really mean that we should take an animal and offer it as a sacrifice, sprinkle its blood on the mizbeach? Sometimes the blood goes lamala. Sometimes you're going to be asking to
hello.
Yeah. So what is the benefit of sometimes sprinkling the blood? Sometimes the blood lamala. Sometimes the blood lamata. What benefit is there? What benefit is there?
Emotion, I don't understand. Also,
obviously they did. No, their generation also. We have to assume understood what it's all about. But for us today, it's just very difficult to relate to what benefit there is in bringing korbanos. Yet, seemingly, the Torah understood that this would be an issue, and that is why from all of the other chumashim, all of the other mitzvot, it is specifically in as an introduction to Korbanos, where the Torah uses the word vayikra, as Rashi says, the first Rashi, Lashon Chiba, Lashon Shemalachi Hashareis Oimrim, Vikara Zel Zev Yomar, to tell us, you may not understand, but you should know there's something here that's very, very precious, and don't underestimate the value and the significance of what you're going to learn in this Chumash. And Rav Soloveitchik elaborates. Let's look at this. Let's understand children. What is the first thing you teach children? Now today they may be a little bit different, but traditionally Chazal say you're supposed to start with Chumash Vayikra. Yavoi tehoirim v'yasoik b'taharos. Let pure children come, children who have not yet sinned, and have not sinned, let them busy themselves with Chumash Vayikra, which is the section of the Torah of Tahara. Let's talk about Talmud Bavli. In Bavel, when they developed the Talmud, which Siddurim did they not develop? Zeroyim. There is no Mesechus for all of the Mesechus of Sefer Zeroyim don't exist. There's no Talmud Bavli. Now all of the Mesechus of Zeroyim are fundamental. They're all about Meiser, Truma, Meiser's Truma, what else? Challah, Bikurin. All of these Mesechus are fundamental to our existence, to farming, to agriculture, to the Chib of Eretz Yisrael. You would expect that since Seder Zeroyim deals primarily with the mitzvahs Tatuluyos Ba'aretz, who is not a Zionist? I mean, who's not going to want to come? Who's not going to want to go and have a chib of Eretz Yisrael? You'd expect that we should focus and dwell upon the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. And yet, there's no Talmud. There's nothing except for Masech Debrachos. There's no Talmud Bavli on Seder Zeroyim. Seder Taharos, which also is a concept which we would expect that we should relate to, would want to become Kedoshim Mutahar. There's nothing. Yet, when it comes to Seder Kachim, every Mesechta is there. Every Mesechta is there, even Tomid, Mesechta Mida, not fully, but every Mesechta is there, it's developed, it's discussed, there is enormous detail, enormous emphasis on Seder Kadashim. In Davening, Chazal wanted us every day to recite one parak of Mishnayis. They could have selected a parak anywhere in the entire Shas. Which parak did they select? Ezehu Mekoyman Shel Zavachim. There are many reasons why we say the parak Ezehu Mekoyman Shel Zavachim, but one of the main reasons is because you should learn, a day should not go by when you don't learn at least the Mishnah, at least a parak of Mishnayis. So Chazal, by design, they took a parak of Mishnayis and they put it in the Seder HaTfilah. There are many candidates that would have been fit very well into Nusach HaTfilah to make sure we learn some Mishnayis every single day. They selected a new parak that encompasses the Seder of Kadoshim. So we see that Chazal have gone very far to teach us, do not underestimate the Kedusha, the value, the lessons, the meaning that we find in the bringing of Korbanos, although for us we acknowledge it's very hard for us in our generation to understand what this is all about, but it's part of Emunah. It's part of Emunah's Chazal, you know, especially with coming before Pesach. Pesach is the Yom Tov of Emunah. The whole state is all about Emunah. This is essential to our Emunah. We teach it to children. We remind ourselves of this every single day. When you learn a Daf Yomi, a good chunk of the Seder of Daf Yomi is Seder Kachim. You can't escape it. And it covers the whole Shas as well. It is essential to our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, let's go now to another idea. Vayikra El Moshe. We have here a small aleph in the word Vayikra El Moshe. What's the reason? Why is there a small aleph? Everyone knows the answer because Moshe Rabbeinu was humble. Moshe, in his humility, did not want it to appear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for him a special chiva. Moshe said, I really know better than Bilam. Bilam Hashem appeared with the word Vayikar Elokim El Bilam. It was a chance occurrence. It was just an accident that I happened to be in the right place at the right time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected me to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. I'm nothing special. Don't get carried away. I'm just an ordinary person. It's really Vayikar El Moshe. He could not bring himself to write the letter Aleph, but of course Hashem says you must write Vayikra. Okay, Hashem, you're not giving me a choice, but at least let me write it in a little Aleph to indicate that I know where I stand, I'm nothing special. Now there is another place in Chumash where Moshe Rabbeinu also expresses humility, and that is the pasuk for Ish Moshe Anav Me'oy Rekol Adam. When Moshe saw the script and Hashem told him, I want you to put this pasuk in the Chumash, Moshe said, Rabbeinu Shalayla, you want me to write it myself in the Torah, Ish Moshe Anav Me'oy Rekol Adam? Come on, who are we fooling over here? So Hashem says, I insist. Moshe got the better of Hashem. He left out one letter. He left out the Yud. The way he's supposed to spell Onav is Aleph Nun Yud Vav. Moshe outsmarted Hashem. He left out the Yud. If you write the word Onav without the Yud, it's also a kosher Onav. You're a kosher Onav when you don't have the Yud. It's also good. So the point I want to make is that we have over here two examples in Tanakh, in Chumash, where Moshe got the best of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he was able to outsmart Hashem Kaviyachol and do something to show that I protest, I'm making a macha, but I'm following your orders, but at least let me make my mark and show what I really think about myself relative to your opinion of me. The Yud of Onav and the Aleph of Vayikra.
Moshe was probably the best.
Okay, whatever that means. Okay, let's not go. Moshe. So you're saying it's really more. His whole name is left out.
I mean, he would have liked that if he's.
Well, he was pleading with Hashem that if you're not going to forgive them, then I want my name to be left out. Hashem says that the gzeirah of a tzaddik is miskai mafilu al tanai. It was fulfilled, his name is not mentioned, but he was mentioned multiple times, 18 multiple times in Parshas Vayakel Pikudei, Hashem made it up to him there. Okay, but let's just focus on these two letters where Chazal explicitly said that Moshe Rabbeinu, he left out something to show he's uncomfortable with being praised in the Torah. What is the, I'm saying now, a very wild idea. What is the combination of Yud and Aleph? What's the numerical value of Yud and Aleph? Yud and Aleph is 11. Moshe expressed his humility with the number 11. Yud, the Yud of the absence of the Yud in Onav, and the miniaturization of the Aleph in Vayikra. In the Haggadah, I saw this 2 days ago, in a Haggadah, I don't remember which Haggadah, I think I saw this in Rabbi Schlesinger's Haggadah, he makes this point, a very interesting idea, in the piyut of Echad Miyodea. We come to Achad Osar Miyodea. What is Achad? Now, if you were writing the piyut Achad Osar Miyodea, it's very unlikely you would focus on the 11 stars. The 11 stars which bow down to Yosef HaTzadik. You would probably pick the 11 ingredients in the Ketores. That's probably the most significant number, 11, in Yadus. You bring the Ketores on Yom HaKippurim, Kodesh HaKadoshim, you bring the Ketores, Anachas Ruach, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how many simonim are there in the Ketores? 11. So why did the Baal HaGadah have to go, Achad Osar Miyodea, the obvious choice of the 11 simonim HaKetores, and go and mention the Achad Osar Kechavim, which bow down to Yosef, which in fact is not such a good thing, because that was a source of sinas gedol, that provoked the brothers, which in turn led to jealousy, which in turn led them to sell Yosef to Mitzrayim, which led to the Shevut of Mitzrayim. So why did the Baal HaGadah focus on the number 11, the 11 stars? So Rabbi Schlesinger in his Haggadah, I don't know if it's his own idea or his quote from another source, says a very fascinating idea. When Yosef, a person, when he has a dream, you dream about things that you think about the whole day. Yosef's brothers misunderstood the dream. They heard that the 11 stars are bowing down to Yosef. They only looked at one part of the dream. We're bowing to you? That is what you're telling us. That we're going to bow down, we're going to humble ourselves. We're going to be subservient to you. What are you out of your mind? Who do you think you are? But there's another point in the dream that shows that they're wrong. That's not what Yosef meant to say. The fact that Yosef referred to them in his dream as 11 stars. If Yosef really thought of his brothers as insignificant slaves, he would have seen them in the dream as 10, not 11 garbage cans bowing down to me.
You could say like the Chumash does, grains of sand.
Grains of sand, or something which has no significance. Something which is inconsequential, of no substance. The fact that Yosef addressed, in his dream, he looked at his brothers as stars, koychoven. A star in Chazal is a very significant thing. It represents a whole world. It's a whole world. It represents Kedusha, it represents light, or I don't really have to study the Mamar Chazal, but a Koichov, a star, is not a little thing. A Koichov is a world. Yosef was giving his brothers covenant. Yosef said, my brothers, you're stars. Why focus on the bowing down? That's just dressing. Okay, that's not the main part of the dream. Look, I view you to be 11 stars.
Yes, but he gets
what? What? They're bowing down to him. They're bowing down to they're stars. They're bowing. When the stars bow down, that means that even you're exalted. But you still have to fargin that you're a star. For most people who don't have the trait of humility, it's they're willing to be moichel, that the bowing down just so that the other person is not a star. That's a reality. So the point that Rav Schlesinger wants to make is the reason why Chazal picked the number 11 at the very end of Haggadah is to remind us that one of the lessons that you take away with the Haggadah is to appreciate your fellow man, is to give covenant to your fellow man. Humility is not, I'm a nothing. You don't have to be a nothing to be an anaf. All you need to be to be a successful anaf is to appreciate that people are even greater than you. I'm a very great person. A genius, a Talmud Chacham, I'm a beloved person, I'm everything, I'm a multimillionaire, I got everything. But you know, you're even better than me. You're even better. You're a star. You're even more chasher than me. That's anibus. Anibus is not you walk around with hunchback. I'm nothing. That's ridiculous. That's depression. That's a sickness. Anibus is, I'm a healthy, confident, successful person, but I recognize there are other people in this world who are even more successful, who even things even more going for them. Achad osar miyodeya, you come to the very end of the Haggadah, you go to the Simonim, a lesson to take away from the Haggadah is achad osar miyodeya, achad osar kechvaya. When you look at your brothers, you look at your fellow citizens, don't forget to be like Yosef, to appreciate who is in your company, who you have, who is part of your team. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Anav Mikol Ha'adam. Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, it's not insignificant, expressed his humility personally by changing the Torah, by leaving out a Yud, and by miniaturizing an Aleph. And the numerical value of Aleph and Yud is 11. Moshe Rabbeinu understood, it's a Jush, Achad Osar Miyodea. Achad Osar Aniyodea. How do I know that Achad Osar? I know Moshe, I know who I am. I know what I've accomplished. I know I went to Shemayim, I didn't eat for 40 days, 40 nights, I brought down the Torah. But I also appreciate who Klal Yisrael is. I appreciate who my brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam, I appreciate my parents, I appreciate everyone else. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was Yodea, the Achad Osar.
I thought the definition of Anivus is
to know
that the Rabbanu Shalom
gave
you all the
choices
and it's not you yourself.
There are many, it's also true. It's not, in Echanami, I am Panam Torah. There are many dimensions to what Anivus is. But one dimension in an Anav is not to diminish yourself. You don't have to diminish yourself. Just make someone else greater. You know the classic Vart, I told you this Vart many times, the Vart of Shomer Zalman Arbach, it says in the Pasuk by V'nasati es brisi sholoim, Parshas Pinchas, V'nasati es brisi sholoim. The Vav is supposed to be a Vav Kitua. He's supposed to have the Vav, the Vav is supposed to be split in the center. Maisa Shehoye, true Maisa. The Vav was not split. They lay on Shabbos, and the Vav was not split. So is it kosher, possible for Shiloh? It could be the same Torah as possible. So they brought the Sefer Torah to the Sefer to fix the Sefer Torah, to cut the Vav down the center. The Sefer said, I don't want to do it because the word Shalom is the Shem Hashem. And it's not so simple you're allowed to erase the Shem Hashem you can't erase for sure. The Sefer, there's no solution. You have to go. It's a nightmare. What happens when you have Hashem's name in the wrong place? How are you going to solve the problem? So the same way you don't erase Hashem's name, you're not going to erase the word Shalom. So I don't want to patchka with the Sefer Torah. Go find someone else. They went to another Sefer, and all of the Sefer gave the same solution. So they went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and they told him none of the Sefer want to fix the Sefer Torah because no one wants to erase the Shem Hashem. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach says a very simple solution: don't erase the Vav, just make add a little ink to the shin, to the lamed, to the mem, make them a little thicker and a little taller. And mimela, the vav, will be shorter. So if you want to be, instead of cutting and taking the vav and cutting the vav in half, you don't have to cut. Just make everyone else bigger. If you'll make the shin, the lamed, and the mem bigger, mimela, the vav will be smaller. And then you'll get a little dot on the teeny bottom, you'll have mimela, you'll have a vav kitua. That's a lesson for life. When you want to have peace with your fellow man, so the attitude is, peace? Let him come bow down to me. Let him come and do something. When we'll cut out all the garbage, then there'll be peace. That's not peace. You know what peace is? You be marmish, shalom. Let him be who he is. Let all the problems remain the way they are. You just magnify your goodness. That is a ribui in shalom. Same thing over here. When it comes to humility, you don't have to make yourself into a nothing. You can be who you are. But appreciate there are people that are even bigger than you. That is achad osor kechvaya, and that is Moshe Rabbein. Let's go to another part. We have over here, I saw a little cute remes. If you have 9 people and a child, is it kosher? Can you daven? Is it kosher for a minion? And Shulchan Aruch, absolutely not. You have to have 10 adults, 10 people who are over the age of bar mitzvah. For some reason, there's a minog not to follow this halacha when you're extremely desperate, is to allow a katan who's holding on to a chumash to be part of the minion. It's a chassid sheminog.
Well, Rabbi Belsky allowed it, and
yeah, he did.
Yes, Rabbi Belsky. I asked specifically because somebody was telling me, so Rabbi Belsky allowed, but as long as you don't make a habit of it.
Okay, 9 people and a katan holding on to a chumash is acceptable. Tzmirum is here in this pasuk. Vayikra el Moshe. How many letters are there in Vayikra Moshe? There are 10 letters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But Vayikra el Moshe.
No,
not words. Vayikra el Moshe. The word Vayikra el Moshe. The expression. Vayikra el Moshe. There are 9 letters in that expression. Vayikra el Moshe. And of those 10 letters, there are 10 letters. One of the letters is small. So when you're involved in there, it's like a little remnant that one of the 10 can be a small. Okay, now here's another idea. This idea is, there's a depth to this idea, but I'm not sure I'm able to fully express because I don't know what it means, but there's something to think about in what I'm about to tell you. Why is there a small aleph? So someone to suggest the small, I think it's a medrash, because Moshe Rabbeinu, he's guilty. This guilt. Moshe Rabbeinu was guilty of a sin. And that sin manifested itself in the Torah being diminished. What was the sin? Moshe shattered the luchos. When Moshe came down from Shemayim, he took the gift of Hashem, v'haluchos, ma'aseh elokim heima, v'hamichtav, michtav elokim. How dare you? You take Hashem's gift and you shatter the luchos? Did Hashem permit you to do so? Well, we know later on Hashem said, Asher Shibarta, Yishar Koychacha Asher Shibarta. Hashem says, Yashar Koyach, it was necessary, shock therapy, it's okay. But Seif Kol Seif, it's a shocking thing that Moshe Rabbeinu would take the gift of Hashem. Could you imagine someone walking into a room holding a Sefer Torah? Can you imagine a rabbi walks in the shul and everyone's Kriyas HaTorah, everyone is talking, right? Everyone, it's laning Kriyas HaTorah and laning, and no one is paying attention. Everyone is talking. So the rabbi goes up to the bima, he takes the Sefer Torah on Shabbos, he picks it up, and he throws it on the floor. Could you imagine a rabbi doing that today? If a rabbi would do that today, he would be in the newspapers, the whole would be on the front page of every single newspaper, and the rabbi would be finished for life. A rug would go in the middle of davening. People are talking in the middle of davening. Okay, everyone in the davening, the big shul, 300 people in the shul, and the laning, and the rug sees people are talking in the laning. So the common thing the rug does is he goes to the bima and he stops the Kriyas HaTorah. Right? What would happen if the rug would go in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah? He would stop the Baal Kriya. The rug would then wrap up to roll the Sefer Torah, pick it up, and throw it on the floor. The shul would go into shock. You wouldn't hear one word. And the rug would be on the front cover of every newspaper. And the Rav would not be able to lift up his face in the whole world for the rest of his life, and it would ruin all of his children's shidduchim. Moshe Rabbeinu did a lot worse than that.
What happened with the rabbi who did it with
a chumash? He took a chumash on the floor?
Threw it in the garbage.
in the garbage.
Yeah, because I like the pshat. He told her that he was forever known after that.
Moshe Rabbeinu did infinitely worse than what I just told you. Just like you cannot even fathom such a thing ever happening, Chas v'shalom v'chalila, Moshe Rabbeinu did something infinitely worse. To take the luchos, which is the Maaseh Elokim, v'hamichtav, michtav Elokim, and to take it and to shatter the luchos in front of the whole Klal Yisrael, you know, we're brainwashed as children just to brush things off, not to appreciate the oimek hadvarim of a Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu did was unfathomable what he did. But that's what he did. Hashem didn't tell him to go to destroy the Torah.
No, but he was going to wipe out the whole
life. So, that's one thing Hashem could do. Moshe Rabbeinu did, this is something which is off the charts. It's in a whole different league. Hashem, so there is a tint. It's not for us to say. The Medrash says there is a small mashu of complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu. And everything that a person does, whether you like it or not, it's on record. You can't clean the record. That's reality in life. There's always going to be a paper trail. Whatever you do in life, you can do tshuva, you can do whatever you want, it's the right thing. You always leave over erosion for your actions. And what Moshe Rabbeinu did by breaking the luchos is the miniaturization of the letter Aleph. Why is that so? Why the letter Aleph? So here's what it says. What was the most significant feature of the luchos? The luchos is kol Torah kula. But there's another element of the luchos which Chazal emphasizes, the mem, the samach, shebeluchos, b'neis hayu omdim. It's the maase elokim, it's the michtav elokim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is noyeg minak teva. When Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the luchos, it was a davar shel teva. It's a maase elokim, but he was megash, the whole world is maase elokim. Okay, you step on the ground, it's Maaseh Elokim. Okay, the writing is Michlav Elokim. But the way we relate to it is Teva. It's nature. But part of the Luchos, there was an element that was beyond the rules of physics, the rules of nature, the rules of science, is the Mem V'Samach Shebeluchos B'Neis Hayu Omdim. There is no way in the world the middle part of the Mem and the Samach can be suspended in mid-air. It just does not exist in the world of reality. How then did it happen? B'nes. That's a very deep concept, what that means exactly. Mem v'samach. How many mems are there in the first set of, in the first luchos? There are exactly 22 mems. What is mem b'gematria? 40. What is 40 times 22? 880. How many samachs are there in the first set of luchos? 2. What is the gematria of a samach? 60. What is what? How much multiplied by 2 is 120. So what is 880 plus 120? 1,000. 1,000 is in Hebrew elef and aleph. Aleph and elef are interchangeable. Aleph and elef are interchangeable. When Moshe Rabbeinu shattered the luchos, he destroyed the nes of mem v'samach shebeluchos b'nes hayu omdim. Now he destroyed the luchos itself. But the luchos, it's not so bad. I shouldn't say that. Because the luchos is teva. It's nature. So, you know, if we are responsible for global warming, we'll fix it. Right? If we destroy nature, we can fix it. But when you destroy a miracle, you can't replace it. That's something which, this is the part that I meant has a lot of depth, which you have to elaborate, which I don't have the tools and the knowledge to elaborate upon this point. There are certain things that can be repaired, but there are certain things that cannot be repaired. You can repair the nature element of the luchos, but the concept that lies, the depth that lies in the concept of b'neis hayu omdim, in these two letters, when it was destroyed through Moshe Rabbeinu, that can never be repaired. And that is indicated in the word Vayikra El Moshe. When Hashem calls out to Moshe, there's pain. Moshe, I entrusted you. I entrusted you with my Torah. I gave you the Torah to give to Klal Yisrael. In the Torah was Elef. Elef has so many meanings. The word Elef has like 10, 20, 30 meanings when the word Elef means. But it also is B'gematria 1000. It also captures in the Luchos B'nei Soyoimdim. Moshe, I'm disappointed. Moshe, you went the chiba, the love. The yikra is a love. I love you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem is saying to Moshe, I don't love you anymore. Vayikar el Moshe. I'm sad. I just have no choice but to meet with you by coincidence, because why don't I love you anymore? You're not a good agent. You destroyed my Torah. You destroyed the Neis HaYoimdim that is captured in the Mem V'Samach Shebeluchas. The Musar Haskel for us is, what is the Musar Haskel? Hashem gives a person bracha in this world. When you come into this world, you're given bracha. And some brachas are teva, and there are certain things you're given that are mamash l'malo miderech ha-teva. And you're a shliach. Okay, you have an important role. You have an important mission. You're a guardian. You're a custodian. And if you abuse and you don't appreciate the gift that you have, okay, there are sometimes, you know, you can replace it. There are sometimes you can make it up, but sometimes when you abuse the gift that has been given to you, the opportunities that are presented, or the gift that you're given, and you don't make the most out of it, Rachmana Litzlan, when Hashem looks at us, He says, "I'm disappointed. I had for you a chiba, a love, vayikor loshun chiba. You've been unfaithful, and now when I look at you, I speak to you. It's vayikor el Moshe, because you have not been faithful to the gift. You've not been a good custodian." Okay, let's go to another idea. Who says this part? So this part, part of it, really, most of it is not mine. Most of it is a medrash. It's a medrash. But the twist is really from the Kollel. What? The gematria is not mine. The gematria is not mine. I could never come. That's. I think it's a med. If I'm not mistaken, it's a medrash. It's an obscure medrash. But what is the meaning of the medrash? What's the meaning? So that we're trying to develop. Okay, let's go to the next idea. In the parasha of Karbanos. First Mishnah, Karbanos is all captured in the Seder Kodoshim. Seder Kodoshim begins with Mesechta Zevachim. The first Mishnah Mesechta Zevachim reads, Kol HaZevachim Shenizbichu Sheloi Lishman Kesheiros Chutz Michatos UPesach. Something like that. All, if a Kohen offers a carbon on the Mizbeach, and as he's doing the Avodah, he has the wrong Kavanah, he thinks that the carbon is not meant for Reuven, the carbon really is meant for Shimon, or he thinks that the carbon is going to for this Avera, for a different Avera, whatever that means, there are different interpretations exactly what exactly the Kavanah of the wrong Kavanah, it was done Sheloi Lishman, it was not done 100% for its intended person and purpose, it's kosher. In other words, you can proceed, you can sprinkle the blood, you can burn the meat, the yavarim on the fire, you can eat the meat, except the owner, the one who has a duty to bring this carbon, has not fulfilled his obligation. He needs to bring another carbon, but it's not chulin bo'azara. The carbon that you have offered on the Mizbeach, it's valid. Everything is fine and good. You don't have to go and take it off the Mizbeach. You don't have any problem. There are two exceptions. The two exceptions are chatos. When a person brings a carbon chatos, if a person did an avera for which he's chayev to bring a carbon, and the koyein had the wrong kavana, it's mamish chulin ba'azara. You have to remove it from the mizbeach. You're not allowed to proceed. The carbon must be removed from the mizbeach and korban pesach. Question is, why are these two unique in this respect? So chatos is, so the answer is chatos is simpler. When a person does an aver, let me take a step back. We have a general principle in halacha: le'olam yasoik adam b'torah u'mitzvos afilu shaloi lishman. Shemitoch shaloi lishman bo lishman. If you come to learn a daf gemara, not because it's religious, your duty to be Isaac in Talmud Torah, you're learning a daf gemara because your wife threw you out of the house. So it's purely shaloi lishman, or you enjoy the intellectual stimulation that comes by learning a daf gemara. I don't really focus on the religious element of learning a daf gemara. It's okay. Shemitach shaloi lishman bo lishman, and that's a principle that we live with. Because if you don't live with that principle, in fact, the Rambam says it has to be like that. It is impossible for a person to come lidei lishma immediately. It takes a lifetime. It takes 120 years to reach a level where you can finally do a mitzvah where you can say, I'm doing it 100% lishma. When we do mitzvahs, by and large, there are incentives. And we have to create incentives in order to do the mitzvahs. And
children,
even adults. Not children, even adults. Like the advertisement, I mentioned two weeks ago, the advertisement is, this is so easy, follow the instructions, it's so simple, even an adult can do it. So when it comes to doing mitzvos, there is such a principle, but yet there are exceptions. And this Maimer Chazal, these two korbanos express the two major exceptions. Number one is when a person is doing teshuva, when you are repenting for your sins. There's no such thing as doing teshuva shelo lishma. When a person inadvertently did an aver, you have to bring korban chatas, you're doing teshuva. I'll bring a korban shelo lishma. That defeats the purpose of doing teshuva. Teshuva has to be sincere. Number two, and it's relevant, it's nogea us now, is the Zman of Pesach, the Korban Pesach. Why is Pesach different? Because Korban Pesach is the Haschola. It represents the beginning of Klal Yisrael. Anytime you embark on something new, something fresh, the principle of Shaloi Lishma is not active. The classic example is Chanukah. The Yontif of Chanukah, they needed 8 days to get oil. What do you need to get oil that's tar? Toma, chutra, bitzibur. You don't need to have oil that's tar to light the menorah. If everyone is tamei, you're allowed to use oil that's tamei. The answer is here, it's a Chanukah. It is an inauguration. It is a renewal. It was a new beginning. When you start something for the very first time, the very, very beginning, the principle of Shaloi Lishma does not exist. If you're coming now to inaugurate, to rededicate the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah, it has to be perfect. It has to be with Shemen Tahar. So too, Yom Tov of Pesach, this is HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim. This is the renewal of Klal Yisrael. It is the first carbon that Klal Yisrael brings for the year as a tzibur. It is the beginning. The lesson is, when you come to a new point in life and you start fresh, everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be with an attitude that is 100% lishma. So let's go to another idea. We have the parasha of Mincha. We have salt. Let's talk about the topic of salt. It says, "I'll call korbancha, I'll call minchascha, takriv melach." When the Torah tells us minchar mincha, it tells every single mincha, and Rashi explains what from the Ribbe of Kol, every single korban must include with it salt. Salt goes on the korbanos, on every single korban has salt, and every mincha has salt. The question is, why salt? What is so significant about salt that needs to be added to every single carbon? So I want to suggest the following derush. Rashi says, in general, why is salt put on the carbon? Because there was a tenai that was granted. There was a fulfillment promise that was given to the mayim tachtonim at the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis. When Hashem divided the Mayim Elyonim from the Mayim Tachtonim, Vayomer Elokim Yihi Rokia B'socha Mayim V'imavdo Bein Mayim L'Mayim, the Mayim Tachtonim protested. It's they said to Hashem, "This is not fair. Ze lo fair. Until this point in time, we were all one. We were connected to the spiritual world, and now you're putting between us the Rokia. We're going to be reduced to this lowly world, a world that is distant from spirituality, that is distant from your Shechina. How can you make us suffer? How can you do this to us? How can you distance us from your presence?" So Hashem said, "Right, I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to insist that on every single sacrifice that's offered to me in this world, you will be a part." Salt, where does salt come from? Salt comes from the Mayim Tachtonim. The Mayim Tachtonim, when it evaporates, when you collect a pool of water of Mayim Tachtonim and you let it evaporate in the sun, you're left over with some salt. that salt will be applied to the karbanos, and therefore a representative of the mayim tachtonim will be part of every single karban. This indeed was a pius. It was a concession to the mayim tachtonim, and the world continued. I want to go a little bit further. We have an expression called yiras shamayim. Where does the expression yiras shamayim come from? We have Yori Elokim, V'lo Yori Elokim, Yori Hashem in the Chumash. But we colloquially use the term a person is a Yori Shamayim. Why don't we just say he's a Yori Hashem? He's a Yori Elokim. Some people indeed, they say Yori Hashem, Yori Elokim. But why do we more often than not refer to fear of God with the term Yori Shamayim? So it's a very popular answer. I'm not telling you any chidushim. Everyone says this because the very first time in history, in the creation, where a element of the Bria was afraid of Hashem was at the moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided the Mayim Elyonim from the Mayim Tachtonim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayom Elokim, Yehi Rokia Bisoch Hamoyim. Rashi says, Yehi Rokia. Rashi asked the question, this is day two. What is the Rekia doing on day two when the Rekia already appeared on day one? Hashem Bereshis, Berolukim is HaShamayim, the Es Haaretz. The Rekia is part of the Shamayim. So what is the Rekia doing in here in the skies with a new term on day two when the Rekia already appeared on day one in the very first Pasuk in the Torah? Rashi says, Lefis Yehi Rekia. So Rashi says, Sha'afal pisha nivru shamayim biyoim harishain adayin lachim hoyu v'korshu b'sheni. Even though the rakia already existed on day one, the rakia was soft. It was mushy. The rakia was mushy. If it's mushy, the water was still flowing back and forth between the rakia. What happened? And what happened was, when Hashem said yi rakia, I left out two critical words in Rashi. Let me read Rashi again. Rakia, yi rakia, Yechazek Harakia. Let the Rakia become firm. Sha'af al pi shenivru shamayim biyoyim harishon adayim lachim hayu. They were soft. V'karshu b'sheni. It be congealed on day two. Here's the key word. Migaras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the shout of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be'omer, when he said, Yehi Rakia. V'zehu she'omar amudei shemaim yiroifefu kol yom rishon uv'sheni yitmu. They became, they were in shock, miga arosoi, from Hashem's shout, ki adam shemishtoimim, like a human being who is in shock, v'oimed, and stands firm in fear, miga aras, from the shout, hame'ayem Allah, from the person who terrorizes him, who casts, not a good word here, who casts his fear upon him. So, in other words, and this is many commentators, it's a very common idea, I'm not telling you chidushim, the reason why we refer to our fearing of Hashem as yirash shamayim is we are referring back to the first time in the history of the world when an element of the Bria was afraid of Hashem. Hashem started out a beautiful world, and then Hashem shouted at the Rakia, Yehi Rakia! The Rakia was afraid. It became firm. It became congealed. And with this firmness, what was a byproduct of the firmness? There was a havdalah between the Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim. When the Rakia was soft, the Mayim Elyonim and Mayim Tachtonim were going back and forth between the two. But now when the Rakia was afraid, was overcome with Ema from the Adam, Hashem, who is Ma'ayim Olav, no more. Now there is a Havdalah. Oh, there's a Havdalah. There's a complaint. Hashem says, no, I'm not going to take away from you my closeness. We're going to bring from the Mayim Tachtonim salt. So I want to explain this. When you bring a Karban, this is the Haftarah, the Yishtef Yeshaya, the Haftarah of Shabbos, the first Shabbos Chazoin, Hashem says, you think I really need your korbanos? What are you coming here to do here? You're coming here, chumash vayikra. You bring a korban, you bring me a gift. I need your mincha. I need your korban. I need your oila. I need your shlamim. I need your chatos. I need your asham. keep it for yourself. I don't need your korbanos. Better listen to me. Better behave. Better do ma'isim tovim, do tzedakah, chesed, tefillah, Torah. I don't need this. If you want to bring a korban, you have to come with the right attitude. Salt represents the correct attitude. Al kol korbancha takriv melach. Every time you present Hashem with a sacrifice or a mincha, don't forget to put some salt on it. When you put the salt on it, what it basically, it's a reminder, come to me with Yirah Shamayim. If the sacrifice, the gift, the atonement is not accompanied with a degree, a hergish of I fear you, I'm a Yorei Shamayim, I'm a Yorei Shamayim, I'm just coming here, it's a joke. I'm coming here, here's the carbon, here Hashem, take the carbon. Or Hashem, it's a bribe. I'm going to bring you the carbon so that you'll do what I want. That's Yirah Shamayim. You humble yourself before me. Then I'll accept your carbon. Salt is a byproduct of the very first expression of Yirah Shamayim in the world. And therefore, every carbon must be accompanied with salt, or don't bother bringing me a carbon whatsoever. There's no Yirah Shamayim, Reishis Chochma, Yiras Hashem, certainly when it comes to bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu a sacrifice. So let's go to another idea.
No, yeah. That's why the word Rakia is translated as
firmament. Ah, firmament. It's firm.
The word firm.
Okay, let's go to another idea. Rashi in this parasha mentions when you bring korbanos, there are many different ways. There are many different ways to apply the blood to the mizbeachs. Most korbanos, Rashi explains, most korbanos, you apply the blood. You don't touch the blood. The blood is in a utensil. It's clean. It's everything. It's nice and you do shchita. The blood. You put the neck of the animal upon a utensil. The blood from the neck of the animal spills into a utensil. You then take the utensil and you splash, you throw, you zorek. What is zorek? You sprinkle. How do you sprinkle? By taking the utensil and throwing the utensil, or at least part of the contents of the utensil, onto the wall of the mizbeach. The only time you do zorek, it's either going to be on one corner of the mizbeach, or it's going to be on shtayim, shehein arba, on two sides of the mizbeach. Every single carbon follows this rule. Sometimes there is pouring, and sometimes there is zrika. There's shvicha, and then there is zrika. There is sprinkling. But it's always done by taking the utensil and splashing, throwing, sprinkling the utensil upon the wall or the corner of the mizbeach. There is one exception. And what is the one exception? The carbon chatas. When you bring a carbon chatas, you have to walk up to the top of the mizbeach, and the kohen has to dip the etzpa. You dip the etzpa into the bowl, and with your finger, you very delicately apply the blood that's on your finger on the corner, on the corners of the mizbech. This is only true with regard to a carbon chatas. Question is why? Why is a carbon chatas singled out from all the other korbanos that its blood has to be applied to the corners of the mizbech to achieve atonement with the etzpa? So being that it's Pesach, and we're all in the mind, the frame of mind of the Makos and the Yitzias Mitzrayim, where do we find the word etzpa in the Makos? Etzpa Elokimi. When was this said? This was said by Makos Kinim. What happened? First we have Makos Dam. What does it say by Makos Dam? All the parakals, all the Chartumim, and says the Chartumim, Nuk, is this the real deal? Is Moshe Rabbeinu, is he just a good magician, or is he the real deal? We don't know. We can do the same thing. Not necessarily. Maybe, and maybe not. We can also make from water into blood. He can do it better than we can. So, all right, so he's better. He's a better magician. But he's only a magician. Okay, Pharaoh is not impressed. Moshe, get out. Comes to Makos, Tzardeya. So the Pharaoh calls in the Chartumim. Can you also bring frogs? Yeah, we can. And they did. They were able to also to produce frogs. Moshe can do it better. Moshe can do it better. Moshe can bring more frogs. Moshe's frogs are different frogs, and Moshe can tell the frogs to go away. But the Chartumim also, they have also some technique in producing frogs. So Pyro says, maybe Moshe is just a better magician than my Egyptians. But when it comes to the third Mak of Kinim, when Pyro calls in the magicians, Pyro says, can you do this? They say, we can't. Etzpa Elokim. This you can't do with kishuf. You can't do this. You can't do this with witchcraft because it's too small. It's microscopic. Kishuf has to have a sheer chazonish. You have to have something significant. It's not going to work. It doesn't work. Etzba Elokim. So now let's take this principle and apply it back to the karban. When a person brings karban, there are so many types of karbanos. There is the shlamim. Shlamim is a gift to make peace between Hashem and Adam. And oila, I know it's mechaper on hirhurim, but oila primarily is a gift. You have an oila, you have a shlamim, even a karban asham. An asham is for an averos, but it's a different type of averos. It's an averos you do b'mezid, really. It's more borders on an averos that you do b'mezid. You do willingly. Some of the ashamites are done knowingly what you've done. It's in a different category. You have to work it through a little bit better to work out why asham is different. But what is a chatas? A chatas is an aver that you've done inadvertently. It's very common in life when you make a mistake, to say, I made a mistake. And the truth is, if you do an aver b'mezid, you don't bring a carbon.
Right.
You only bring a carbon when you did an avera b'shoigek. But if you were in onus, you don't bring a carbon. A person on Shabbos walks in a reshus haram deraisa and there's something in his pocket. Something in his pocket. And he comes to shul, comes home, oh no, I would carry it on Shabbos. Do you bring a carbon? No, you don't bring a carbon. You're a misasek. I didn't even realize what I was doing. And if you don't know the halacha, if you're in onus, I couldn't prevent it from happening, you also don't bring a carbon. It's not so easy, believe it or not, to bring a carbon. Because when you bring a carbon, you have to be somewhere in the middle. Either if you're amazed, you don't bring a carbon. If you're an onus, it was an accident, or it was beyond my control, or I did not even realize what I was doing to begin with, you also don't bring a carbon. To bring a carbon, you got to be somewhere in the middle. I had no intent to do this. It was inadvertent. It happened by accident. It is human nature. Now Chazal tell us, there's really no such thing as a shaygik. When you do an avera for which you chayv a carbon, which means you pass the madrega of being an onus, it's not an accident, it's not against your will, you're really guilty. There is a degree of guilt. I'm not amazed. It wasn't a first degree murder. I know it wasn't with kavana, but there's a degree of guilt. But it's human nature. Whenever a person is not fully responsible, but is partially responsible, you have a fender bender, right? You go traveling on the highway, and you're just not concentrating 100%, and you're a teeny little fender bender, right? So you go a little bit too fast, you bump the car in front of your face, whatever, something like that. So, are you guilty? No, I mean, you can say yes and no. Okay, it's not. What am I? The guy stopped. The guy in front of me, you know, he slowed down too fast. So, but if you were really paying attention, it would not have happened. So there is a good, you're not really responsible, but you are partially responsible. Anytime you have a way out, you're already in the category of a shaygek. It is human nature to say, I did nothing wrong. I am 100% innocent in what I have done. That is human nature. If you're not 100% guilty, you're innocent until proven guilty. That's a secular concept. Okay, in the secular world that we live in, you are innocent until proven guilty. So why then you are in court? Why then? How then did you get into court? Why are you sitting in handcuffs in front of a judge and you're in an orange suit if you're innocent until proven guilty? What are you doing in this situation like this? I'm innocent until proven guilty. So once already I'm innocent, I want to get out of here 100%. That's human nature. The Torah says not so fast. If you're ready to shoygeg, face the reality. Use your finger. Using a finger is symbolic of don't deny your guilt. Just like when the Chartumim, they said to Paro, Etzba Elokim, it's the finger of Hashem. We are hereby to acknowledge, yes, Hashem is the one who is doing this. It's not happening. There's no siba. There is no external cause that is not related to Hashem why this is happening. A person has to also take upon himself the responsibility, the acknowledgement, the realization that his own finger is doing something. When he brings a carbon chatas, which by nature has a tendency for a person to say, I shouldn't even be bringing the carbon chatas because I did nothing wrong. It was inadvertent. No, apply the blood to the corner of the Mizbech with your finger as a stable, the coin is really doing it as your agent, as an acknowledgement, as a realization, yes, I am guilty. I am guilty, I should have been more careful. If I was more careful, it never would have happened that I would have committed this avera inadvertently. That's why specifically, by the Karban Chatos, the Torah emphasized there has to be, it has to be an Etzba Elohim. Okay.
Exactly right.
You should have known better. Okay, so make an observation. In this whole parasha, from beginning to end, everything is all very abstract. A person did an avera. What avera did he do? I don't know. He did an avera. There are many averas. Tayag mitzvos, figure out what avera. So if he did this, do bring this carbon. If he's a nasi, bring this carbon. If he did avodah zarah, you bring this carbon. If he's a kohen gadol, do this carbon. The whole parasha is a parasha of abstractions, from beginning to end. But there's two exceptions. First exception is Rashi, the very first Rashi of the parasha emphasizes Adam. Why does the parasha begin with the term Adam ki yakrav mikem korban? What is Adam? Rashi says, when you bring a korban, make sure the korban is not gezel. Make sure you own the animal. Adam, let me read the Rashi. Adam, just like Adam harishain owned the entire world, and it was impossible for him, Lama Nemar, Adam Lama Nemar, im Ma Adam Harishain, Loy Hikriv Min Hagezel, Shakol Hoyo Shaloi, Afatem. Here we have instructions. Go to you, you bring a carbon, Loy Takriv Min Hagezel, do not bring an animal from Gezel. That's the first lesson we learned in this week's parasha. Da Ber El Bnei Shovi Marat Alehem Adam. The whole parasha goes on with abstractions until we get to the very, very end of the parasha. Big parasha. It's a very hard parasha to learn. I always believe that Yikra is the hardest parasha to learn. It's not the longest. It's the hardest because you gotta concentrate. You have the same expressions over and over and over. You gotta remember this time it's with this chub and this chub and this viktiroi viktiru. It's a real. I don't know. For some people, it's very hard. But end of the parasha, you finally get to nefesh. Let me read the very end of the parasha. Nefesh ki sechete umolam al b'Hashem. What's the sin? He swears falsely. He swears falsely that he does not have in his possession someone else's property. The kichesh, and he brings here a carbon oila, a new category of carbon oila v'yareit. But what did he do? The kichesh b'ami. So he denies having in his possession property of someone else. How did it get into your hand? Either b'pikadon, you are a custodian, or b'sumes yod, or you took it as a loan. B'sumes yod means you borrowed the money. Or v'gozel, you outright stole it. Oh, oshak esami, so extortion. You paid for it against the person's will. Or motz aveda, or you find in the street an aveda that has a simen and you don't want to return it. V'kicheshba, v'nishba al shaker, alachas mikol asher yos adam lachatoy bohena. Now, if you were writing the parasha, what would be the next? What would you write afterwards? So the Torah tells you, here we have a category of sin, and you're now going to bring. We're going to bring a special carbon. The possible. You right away get down to what you're supposed to do. So what do? So you would say you should bring. You have to pay a chaimesh, an additional fifth, as a penalty, and the asham. This parasha really the asham yavi la Hashem. Ayil tamim and atzayin be'erkichol le'asham el'akoyin. Here you bring a carbon atom. So I made a mistake. This is not a carbon oile v'yer. This is a carbon asham. When a person swears falsely in denial, this is amazing. When a person knows exactly what he is doing, he swears falsely and denies that he has in possession someone else's money, he brings a carbon asham. Yet, it's very interesting. The Torah goes out of its way and says, it's the last psukim of the parasha, it says, wait a minute. V'hoya ki yechete v'ashem. First thing first, v'heshiv es hagzeilah asher gozol. Before we get to the sugya of Chumash VaYikra, wait a minute. You stole? You deny that you have in your possession someone else's money, and you're just going to come to the Beis Hamidrash and now bring the carbon away? First thing first, pay back the money.
Veheshiv es hagzeilo asher gozol os oshek asher oshak os apikoden asher hafkar ito os aveda asher matza oh mikol asher yishav alav l'shekev v'shilav asher berosho. Pay back the money. It's very interesting is that when it comes to every single other aveda in the whole Torah, the whole parsha, Yahweh Yirei Koyein, or you have a Klal Yisrael, and they did avodah zarah, or they wrote Rashi Shein, they wrote on Shabbat, the one of the Lamkas Malachos, they chel, they chazir chves, they go to all. The Torah doesn't say boo. It doesn't tell you anything you possibly did. It just says you do an Aveira. So here are the rules of Arim Kurbanos. But when you're dealing with Mammon, when the Aveira involves someone else's property, someone else's money, and you have to bring a Karban, the Torah did not leave, rely upon Chumash Shemos. You can find the answer to this question, what you do in Parshas Mishpatim. What you do when you steal from someone, you deny that you have someone, you can find the answer. And the agenda here in Chumash Vayikra is not the agenda of teaching you the laws of Chesh and Mishpat. The laws over here is to teach the laws of Karbanos. Yet, as an exception to everything in this parasha, it tells you, wait a minute, forget about the laws of Karbanos. Let's get first thing first. Make sure you pay back the money that is not yours, that you stole from someone else. So it's very fascinating that here we're beginning with Parash Vayikra, the parish that sets the tone for Kurbanos, and the beginning of the parsha and the end of the parsha has nothing to do with the laws of Kachin. Has to do with the laws of Chosh and Mishpat. Teaching you, emphasizing how important it is to be careful, meticulous with regard to someone else's property. This is, before you come to holy matters, you have to be ethical in your own private matters. Ben Adam l'chaverei. Okay, let's end. Let me just say the last part of the parasha. Next week, this Shabbos parasha is the Dalit parasha has come to an end. That was last week. That was last week, and now we're looking forward to Shabbos Hagadol. That is next week. In the meantime, in between the Dalit parashas and Shabbos Hagadol is called the Shabbos Pinuya. This week is called the Shabbos Panuya. It means an empty Shabbos. The Hafsaka is when in the Dalit Parashios there's an empty week. That's called Hafsaka. But when the Dalit Parashios are over, in between the Dalit Parashios and Shabbos HaGadol, it's called Shabbos Panuya. It's a remez Panuy LaHashem. Panuy Yud K Panuya Yud K is it's clean, it's clear for Hashem. It's a parasha dedicated just where you don't have to think about other things, whatever that means. Pani Lashem, Panuy, it's an empty parasha. What is the last word of this week's parasha? Achas, v'chibulav ha'koyin l'fnei Hashem nislach lov al-achas mikol asher ya'aseh le'ashmo vo. There's a chasidish minuk. Anybody hear this minuk? That when you finish Chumash Vayikra, everyone in shul breaks out in singing a nigun to the words of Lokel Asher Shavas Mikol Hamasim Bayoim Hashabas. You ever hear this before? It's supposed to be a part of the Hasidish and Minuk. Vayikra, the last words, La Ashmava. Ashmava is Roshe Tevos. Lokel Aleph Asher Shin Shavas Mem Mikol Heyes Hamasim Bayoim Beis Hey Hashabas. Why is that a Minuk? So simply is because la'ashma ba, you don't want to end off on a bad note. La'ashma ba means guilt. You'll be forgiven for all of the sins for which you are guilty of. You don't want to end off the parasha on a sour note. So to transform guilt into simcha, we break forth in song praising the koyach of Shabbos, la'kel asher Shabbos mikol ha'masim b'yom ha'Shabbos. But on a deeper level, in a normal year, Parshas Vayikra is the Parshas, that's Shabbos Panuya, which precedes Shabbos HaGadol. And basically, it's a preview for the next Shabbos. The next Shabbos is going to be the Shabbos HaGadol. Hine anochi shalech lechem eis elyon lifnei bo Hashem HaGadol v'hanoira. Next Shabbos, the Shabbos that leads into Mashiach. So we come to Vayikra, the end of Vayikra, your adrenaline is already flowing. You come to the last words of the parasha, la'ashma ba, it's a code, it's an anticipation for Shabbos HaGadol of Lekel Asher Shabbos, we refer to Shabbos, v'yom Hashirim, we begin to sing that by next week, already Mashiach will be banging on the door. And with that, we conclude. Now that Rav Meir is here, so Rav Meir will give us a shir. Okay, so with that, we'll have a wonderful Shabbos.